And we're live. Hi, everyone. We have an unexpected live stream today with some big news. Mohammed Hijab has been very naughty, naughty, and has been behaving very unethically, not just unethically, but to the point where it could be even illegal. Not sure about that, the legality of it, but we have a breaking update that we wanted to share from the desk of Behind Wales. And we were just watching this video a little bit ago. It's quite explosive, and we wanted to give a comment and go through it. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, this was quite shocking, and I just felt a need to talk about it right away.
Yeah, all right, so let's
Probably
get.
more shocking than anything else I've seen so far. So
All right, let's get into it and give people a minute to get to join. Looks like all right. Yep, we have some new receipts and pretty crazy stuff, pretty crazy updates. This needs to go as viral as possible. As many people need to see this as can see it because it's just crazy. Yeah, this is the first live stream with Mrs. Friendly Ex-Muslim. So maybe we can introduce you. I just realized that this is something new that we're doing together. You want to just introduce yourself to everyone, I guess, again?
Hey everyone. So for anybody who's new here, there's still people out there who are wondering who I am. So I'm Abdullah's wife, and I've been contributing to the channel for some time now, and I cover a lot of women's issues, social issues within the system of Islam, and I am particularly fond of covering the Mohammed Hijab Aisha scandal. I feel like her story is so close to my heart as somebody who was once a widowed single mother in this religion. So, with that being said, we can get into it.
Alrighty. Okay, let's get started. We have actually, believe it or not, another live stream right after this with Thaddeus, which was going to be awesome as well. But yeah, let's get into this one and then we'll give a comment. Alrighty, let me know what the sound is like. I'm gonna play it just to give it a test.
We're about to witness will shake you, it will anger you, and it will leave you in shock. It is disturbing, it is raw, it is real. This is not just about deception or a scandal. This is about spiritual betrayal, blackmail, and a cover-up at the high.
All right, just saying, I just want to do a little bit of a sound check. This is the first time I'm doing this in a while. Okay, sound is great. Okay, beautiful.
Highest levels of our religious dawah scene. And it's time you heard the full truth. It is the catalyst which forced us to make the difficult decision of going public. But before I begin, I want to quickly address a recurring question throughout our presentation of this case. Why have you not released everything all at once? There is a simple answer, but it is rooted in exercising wisdom and employing strategy while handling this rather complex case. When we first interacted with Hijab, it became abundantly apparent that he was using deception and intimidation tactics paired with veiled threats. He came prepared to play a dirty game, one that would entail coercion, trickery, lies, and doing everything in his capacity to suppress the truth and save his reputation.
Just pause there for a second, and this is kind of an interesting comment. Honestly, I have all the respect for Salman here, and I think within the framework of what they're trying to do, this was something they wanted to deal with privately, which, kudos to them. If they could deal with it privately, then the better for, the dawah and the Muslim community. But unfortunately, this got worse and worse. Hey, and I see Ismail Yusuf in the chat. Hopefully not an AI Ismail Yusuf like was on Central Dawah's channel. But yeah, nice to see you. Mohammed Hijab blackmailing someone down, who would have thought? Yeah, I've been seeing your videos, man. I watched a recent interview you did on I forget what the channel name was, but it was pretty good. It was a interesting background. We should have you on the channel as well. It'd be good to have you on here. Yeah, any thoughts, friendly Mrs. Ex-Muslim?
Yeah, so I mean, like anything else, when there's like a criminal case, like a legit, like real criminal case in, in that part of the, world. So basically, I think Salman, what he did here was the right thing. He didn't just hear something, jump on the internet. This has been going on for like 8 months. Is that right? 8 months, something like that. He gathered all the evidence, talked to everybody, compiled everything, and, you know, slowly released it. And also, you know, to sit here for how many hours would this be if he just released everything? I think in these little 10, 15, 30 minute clips, I think that was great what he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hence why we made the decision to slowly release the various elements of this case. And what happened from the beginning was exactly what we had expected, but on a level we could never have fathomed. With each video that was released, whether it was a proxy AI video on behalf of Mohammed Hijab or the vindictive and vicious attacks from Adi Dawa, they began unraveling their real nature and deceitful claims. The recurring theme of each video became crystal clear, and it is something I had forewarned in my very first video, that they would resort to character assassination in an attempt to deflect from the allegations on deck.
He's gonna introduce the whole thing, and then we're gonna get into the actual update. I'll give him a couple more seconds to a minute more to introduce it, and then we'll jump right into the juicy part.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about the day of judgment in Surah An-Nur.
Alright, I'll just skip this part. I don't really care about this.
What has transpired is not a deceit that has been concealed until the day of judgment, but rather it is one where their evilness and transgressions have continued to unravel before our very own eyes. Back in August of 2024, we were contacted by a sister, one we have referred to with the alias of Sister Aisha. She came forward with a painful and deeply complex account of a marriage with Mohammed Hijab, one that involved deception, full secrecy, and left her feeling used by being tricked into a hotel marriage. Over the next 8 months, we did not rush to conclusions. We questioned her story multiple times from every angle. We scrutinized the evidence, text messages, narrative recordings, and alleged witness statements. We spoke with a sheikh who confirmed his knowledge of the marriage.
So all along, there was a sheikh that actually knew about the marriage. And what we're finding out now is they were trying to keep him uninvolved. We know that Salman was not trying to bring people involved that it would cause them pain and misery. And so he's been trying to deal with it on his own. He's been collecting evidence. The amount of work that actually goes into doing this is crazy. When we make YouTube videos, my wife knows now, as she's got involved now for over the last year, just how much work it is.
Yeah, it's very time consuming to make these videos. It's, oh my gosh, it's a lot of clipping, editing. I mean, it was a learning curve for me as well, because I've never done this in my life. So I learned from basically nothing, right? And yeah. I imagine with Salman, you know, he's made videos before, but he's doing it more frequently. And he probably has a job, you know, outside of this, and he has a wife, we know that, and he probably has kids and other life obligations. So it's like, to create something like this, you know, it's going to be very, very tedious to deliver,
it's,
you know,
yeah,
a quality video like this.
And it's risky. It's risky to his reputation. It's risky to the fact that he's going against some of the biggest names in Dawah. And what we're going to see, folks, in just a minute, is what can happen to you if you go against Mohammed Hijab. You're going to find out the blackmail, the way he threatened and he gave an ultimatum. So let's continue.
Allow me to repeat that. We spoke with a sheikh who confirmed his knowledge of the marriage. We tried to reach out to the wakil. He gave us ambiguity. And above all, we contacted Mohammed Hijab directly.
Those of you who don't know what a wakil is, that's a representative. That's her representative of the marriage, because Mohammed Hijab convinced her not to use her dad, because her dad wouldn't be okay with the online nikah. And so he wanted to have a real nikah. And so Mohammed Hijab convinced her with a fatwa website that this is okay. And so everyone that's been involved in this situation has been, the whole situation has been manipulated by Mohammed Hijab to avoid there being any culpability. He's trying to keep it as question. Basically, he's using as much discussion as possible in every step of the way. So at any point in this process, he can disappear.
That's, you know what, too, that's why when this first came out, he's like, this is the last time I'll comment on this. He said that on Twitter. And it's like, well, yeah, that's the last time you're going to comment. But what about everybody else? Like, you don't get to decide who talks about this and who doesn't, but he felt like he had that authority. Like, this is the last time. And then the other video, case closed, the smoking up. No, it's not. You know what you did. And now everybody who you've been trying to silence, it's all coming to light.
Yeah, exactly. Ilmi says, I feel nothing for this shuyuk. They all endorse hijab. Hijab is just more aggressive. They all believe the same thing as hijab. They're just nice about the approach. Yeah, in this case, what we're seeing is like a narcissistic personality. And he, as Mina said, he's a textbook definition of NPD. It's almost like he thinks he's too big to fail. And that's why he's been like steamrolling all of these people. Mina says the Dawah scene is like a mafia thing. They want to use and abuse others and threaten people when they don't get their way. Yep, exactly. Another one, Mina, the sheikhs don't want to do damage control and save face because if it was the other way around, all hell would have broken loose. But because it's a woman that was affected, they don't care. This is true as well. Why is nobody sticking up for her? But as we're going to see, actually, the sheikh did stick up for her ultimately, this sheikh and obviously him. But that's it, nobody else, right? And what was the cost to Sheikh Trane? We're gonna find out. We're gonna find out what the cost was. It was a very big cost that he had to pay. And this is why we need people to see this.
What we received wasn't just denial, it was hostility, intimidation, and veiled threats. Rather than resolve matters privately, he dared us to go public. We refused to expose him, but what you're going to hear today is why we were left with no other option. Instead of denying the marriage outright, Hijab and his ally, Ani Dawah, launched a series of smear campaigns. They discredited Aisha. They deliberately misconstrued Dr. Abu Aya, and they viciously slandered me. They tried to frame us as conspirators fueled by ulterior motives. They demanded a level of evidence that no secret marriage could ever easily produce, especially when it was conducted with deliberate and meticulous concealment. They resorted to presenting a photoshopped and fabricated screenshot as evidence in an effort to disqualify the credibility of Sister Aisha.
What are the evidences? What are the tactics they've used? They've used character assassination. Ali Dawah used character assassination on Salman. Muhammad Hijab used character assassination. They used character assassination on Sister Aisha. They are trying the very, very best to produce fake evidence, swearing by Allah, this never happened. All of this is to avoid showing any form of guilt.
Right. And the AI generated voices, it's just everything on their end as far as evidence has been like, you know, 0.5% compared to, you know, what Salman and everybody else has released, right?
Yeah. And wait until we see what's next. What's about to come next is even worse, what they did next.
And then just this past week, they released an AI deepfake voice recording pretending to be Sister Aisha and a supposed confession she made to some random AI mufti who apparently wanted to remain anonymous. This was debunked and proven to be maliciously fabricated. And above all, they continue to weaponize a respected sheikh against us, against all of us, Muhammad Torana. Who is Muhammad Torana? He is the sheikh who had directly confirmed that the marriage between Muhammad Hijab and Sister Aisha did in fact occur. Muhammad Hijab, along with Ali Dawah, presented voice notes from Sheikh Torana claiming he was deceived by Sister Aisha. The goal? To undermine her credibility. But what they didn't expect with all of their cunning tactics, their precision calculations, their witness suppressions, and their wicked cover-up attempts, was that the truth behind that same sheikh would eventually be unveiled. I want you to stop what you are doing. Stop multitasking.
He's going to be pretty dramatic here. He's going to say, stop what you're doing. Get a piece of paper. Make some notes. He's going to get actually really intense.
I like these little like intense moments.
Yeah, let me play it then.
Take a break from eating dinner. Silence your phones. This is the part I need your undivided attention. This is the part you could never have imagined you would hear. First, I want you to hear the voice notes of Sheikh Muhammad Torana played by both Muhammad Hijab and Ali Dawah.
I'm going to skip the parts where he plays the Sheikh. Basically, the Sheikh is unwilling, as you can see. He was unwilling to get involved, right? He was just kind of like, you know, please, you know, I'm sorry for getting involved. And he apologizes. but it's very vague. It doesn't actually say what he's apologizing for. He's kind of like, I'm sorry for getting involved. And then Ali Dawa goes and does the same thing and says that, you know, he got involved. So he's confirmed to two different people now, Ali Dawa, Mohammed Hijab, that he got involved and he tried to help the sister. I mean, he didn't really, I don't know how much he really helped her, to be honest. I don't think he really helped her. He kind of like, you know, in a sense, he even, at this point, I don't think he did much for her. Let's be honest. You know what? What he's done now is better. But at this point, he's kind of like just trying to soothe her and make her feel better. And like, you know, he's like he said, he was dragged into it. He was, you know, he's unwilling to really do it. But, you know, he wanted, a reoccurring theme with this sheikh is Allah will give you justice. Allah is not going to give you justice. What's going to give you justice is you getting justice, going and doing something about it. Just saying, I leave your fate in Allah's hands and Allah will give you justice and whatever. It just doesn't happen that way. And this is a way that criminals under Islam and general, you know, get away with it, because the day of judgment, you'll be better than the day of judgment. So why do we need to deal with it now?
Yeah, you know what, too, though, like a lot of these sheikhs, they, and just Muslims in general, they say this as like a coping mechanism. Like, this is very, very overwhelming what he's going through. He's not used to dealing with, you know, craziness like this on this level. So for, you know, an older man like this, and, you know, it's very overwhelming, I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess we can give him the benefit.
That's why they say leave it to Allah, you know, Allah will do this. And it's just like, oh my God, this is just too much. You're here, give it to Allah.
Yeah. You know? Actually, yeah, I guess to be fair, you know, like dealing with Muhammad Hijab is a scary thing in general.
Yeah.
This guy is not, none of us know this guy. Before this, none of us knew this guy. Hijab, everyone knows Hijab. So this is basically him probably being a little bit worried, right? But now we're going to get to the really crazy part. So, are you guys ready for this? It's going to get nuts now.
No longer just a scandal. This is now a criminal case.
Unfortunately, this brother, Muhammad Hijab, he started blackmailing me. He told me that initially, he was saying, I will not do nothing. If you didn't stand against me, I will not do nothing. Then after the patient, I have run out of patience. And I will be taking an assistance by midnight tonight, all within bounds of Sharia and law. However, you have one final chance to shut things up. By the midnight, you must do the following. Look at what he said. Send me a WhatsApp voice message acknowledging that you misrepresented the situation. After hearing only one side, specifically the fabrication of evidence and testimonial or testimonies, and I apologize for the harm caused. But then the next point is inform the reporters the truth, retract your statement, and provide me with a screenshot as a proof. If you fail to do both, I will proceed accordingly. Without further warning, in full compliance with Sharia and law, phase one of the consequence will be set into motion immediately after the deadline.
What you just...
This is crazy.
What's happening behind the scenes. There's threats. Like, that's actually quite scary. This older man, you know, is being, you know, threatened like this. Like, what does that mean? He's gonna, you know, it's just with this Dawa mafia mob. I mean, God only knows, right?
Oops, I'm muted. Yeah, this is kind of crazy. What he's doing is, as you can see, we have on one hand Sister Aisha. I'm gonna call her Sister Aisha to make it, you know, clear. We're not talking about Aisha, the wife of Muhammad. It gets very confusing. And on the other hand, we have Muhammad Hijab. Muhammad Hijab's like, I swear to Allah, uqsimu billah, I didn't do this. You know, I have nothing to do with this. She's a liar. She's a stalker. She's a crazy person. She made the whole thing up. On the other hand, you have like some truth on the other side when you have Aisha, Sister Aisha, and she's talked to a sheikh there was two witnesses, there was a wakil, there was a marriage ceremony, there's a bunch of things that happened, and there's actual evidence for this. But little did she know that she was being set up. Aisha didn't know, Sister Aisha didn't know that she was being set up. The whole time he was keeping recordings of her, he was basically keeping as much evidence as he could in order to throw her under the bus when this happened. But unfortunately, she didn't give up. And now she got involved, and she's been asking the Sheikh to get involved. Now Muhammad Hijab realized his lies are unraveling. And, you know, like a real mafia mob, what do? They start to close off any unclosed ties that they have, any sort of question marks, any possible ways for them to get caught. And this was how he was going to get caught. And so what was he going to do? He needs to get rid of this guy. How is he going to get rid of this guy? Well, he can try asking nicely. That didn't work. So what is he going to do? Make conditions. You have till midnight. Send me a voice note saying that you retract your statement that there was a marriage. Send me a voice note saying that you misrepresented the situation. Send me a voice note saying that and that none of this happened and that this is all lies. And he's saying, tell the reporters. The reporters, I think he means this guy. This is the guy, right? Let's continue listening to what happened next. Let's let the music wind a little bit. Let's see what happened next.
Hear what they never wanted you to hear. The truth.
Yes. He did apologize. And the screenshot with what happened. He apologized directly to her. And he sent me the screenshot. And said, forgive me. And, you know, and I have done this.
Sorry, just so I can explain what's happening, I'm going to rewind one more time. Because what's happening here is they're about to discuss. Salman is asking the Sheikh, this is what I think, what happened. He's getting evidence. He's basically confirming the evidence he has, which is text messages saying that Muhammad Hijab apologized for what he did to Aisha. Sheikh was pulled in. And now he's asking the Sheikh, is this what happened? Did Muhammad Hijab apologize to Aisha for what happened? Okay, so this is the context.
Now, hear what they never wanted you to hear. The truth.
Yes. He did apologize. And the screenshot with what happened. He apologized directly to her. And he sent me the screenshot and said, forgive me. And, you know, and I have done, you know, if I have wronged you in any way before, let's move on. I think he was a bit arrogant. You know, so good looking. You know, you're my brother, first, and you're my student, second, you used to come to my class. You don't talk to me like that, and I'm here just to see, I'm not here to expose you. Initially, she asked for apologies. Mm-hmm. We made him to make apologies to her. So what then? She said, no, we need to warn the other women. We made the video. I'm doing this to protect the dawah, and I made the Ali dawah to speak about this matter. When the marriage took place, and divorce, and even... Initially, they didn't stay for something, they were only for 1 month or something. And things didn't work between them.
He's
you know
saying,
what?
Yep.
Just real quick, you know what? He's saying he talked to Ali Dawa to have him make this video. So Ali Dawa said, I don't know who the brother is. I don't know. He must have known, right? Yeah.
He must have known.
That's also a lie. So, yeah. Okay.
Yep, he must have known. And this is how Ali Dawa got involved. This is another clue in the story that this wasn't just a woman. Ali Dawa being the savior of Muslim women. He wasn't being the savior of Muslim women. This man, this righteous man, got involved after doing nothing. He got involved and he pulled in Ali Dawa so that to make her happy. To get her to support her so that she would feel satisfied that other women were warned about this happening. So Muhammad Hijab apologized to her, supposedly, which was obviously a fake apology because look what he's doing now. Muhammad Hijab was, Ali Dawa was pulled into this and made a video, which we know, which was leaked. Thank God we got to hear that video. And this guy was the one facilitating it. So now there's like a third, he's the third person involved, right?
Right. And you know what? So like behind the scenes, I mean, if I had to theorize, it's like, you know, this guy is talking to Ali Dawa saying, you know, you need to make a video about this, protect the Dawa. And Ali Dawa's like, Sister Aisha, remember he kept reaching out to Sister Aisha? He's the one who chased her to make this video. Why? Well, now we know. This guy is like, you have to make this right. You have to say something about this, you know, Kolas, get it done, you know?
You know, unfortunately, you actually feel bad for this man after watching this video. You truly feel sorry for him and the way he's been dragged through the mud.
Yeah, it's like that's his elder. That's Muhammad Hijab's elder, his teacher. And he's treating him terribly, as we're going to find out.
Even though, by the way, they sent her money as well. The witnesses, they sent her, one of them, he sent her money because there is marriage took place.
More evidence that marriage did take place. There was a gift.
And we cannot say that when he divorced her, that the divorce didn't take place because it is done properly. He divorced her according to what they have done. And as well, he gave her mahar, which is the dowry out of that.
These are not vague impressions.
So this sheikh is acknowledging, one, there was a marriage, two, there was a witnesses, three, there was a mahar, meaning a bridal gift, four, there was gifts from the witnesses to the sister. All of these things are a proof that there was an actual marriage, right? And let's just continue. I'm going to skip this.
These are clear.
And I'm going to start right here.
I can't go to the Islamic Council to discuss my case because no one wants to testify that the marriage happened already. So therefore, that's something I can't do. Like, you don't want to give me the name of the witnesses.
Yeah, they didn't approve it. They didn't allow it. Now, sister, they didn't give me the names. I had to dig into the thing. And it came out of conversation with someone. And that's how I came across to the person. And then he said to me, he doesn't want to be involved in anything in this matter. He doesn't want to be known that he has done something wrong, as you know. So people didn't want to be known that they have done something wrong, meaning to be in a process of a nikah, which is in this way. So it's wrong. He accepts that this is wrong. But because of the respect that he has to me, as a mission, as an amana, he mentioned that yes, he attended, he was there. The other thing as well, let's hear go to that.
Before we continue, this is basically Sheikh Trane, Sheikh Muhammad from Speaker's Corner, as he's known. He went and figured out who the witnesses were to this marriage. They didn't want to be known. They were secret. But what's the point of having witnesses if you, like, this is the stupidest thing. Like, but even the witnesses knew that they did something wrong. They knew that this was like a slimy thing that happened. And so they're scared to get involved now. If they care about justice, they should get involved, right? But who knows what, maybe they were threatened too.
I would imagine they were. I mean, Sister Aisha didn't know who they were, obviously. Muhammad Hijab knows who they are. They were probably carefully handpicked. And now that they're seeing what's coming out, they're really not going to talk.
Yep.
The Sharia Council, and I don't mind to testify with what I know with the best of my ability. I will comply with this if it comes to the to the things that protect your rights. But if there is something which is your haq, if you want to get it through a Sharia Council or something like that, if you wanted my testimony, I don't mind to testify to what I know. There's not mandatory upon me to do that. But I will do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and as well as a testimony, as a shahada, I will testify for this.
So he's willing to basically stick his neck out, he's saying, and to be, so as things have progressed, now it's become this situation where Muhammad Hijab is saying this never happened, the Sheikh is saying it happened, the witnesses are saying it happened, all of these people are saying it happened, Hijab himself even said it happened on a text message to the Sheikh, apologizing, he even apologized to Sister Aisha, Sister Aisha is saying it's happened. There's only one person saying it didn't happen. Oh, wait, there's two people. There's Muhammad Hijab and there's Ali Dawah as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Should we continue?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is going to get worse. We're not even done yet. This is going to get even worse.
Subhanallah. Sheikh Torana relays the conversation he had with one of the witnesses, that they did not want to be associated with this, knowing that the nikah was not done properly. Even when Sheikh Torana was willing to testify for the truth, others around him chose silence. Witnesses refused to come forward.
Shame. You know, it's interesting. Sister Aisha says, I'm willing to testify. This Sheikh Mohammed Torana, I'm willing to testify. These people are all just willing to testify because this entire thing is made up. This is all just one big made up story. It's all fake. It's you know, everybody's crazy. Just everybody's crazy, but Muhammad Hijab, because he's the one telling the truth here. Come on.
Yep. Yep.
And fear took precedence over justice.
Unfortunately, this brother Muhammad Hijab, he started out blackmailing me, and I stood from his side. He actually knew that I was the reason for the sister to speak to Adi and to record and all of these things.
Yes, Adi Dawa was aware, and yet he still published videos discrediting the sister, presenting the Sheikh's coerced audio as if it were sincere.
Okay, this is quite a bombshell that needs to be talked about. Adi Dawa knew that this marriage happened. He spoke to Sheikh Tarane. He knew, he was told by him to do the video. Yet he made video after video shooting her down, right? Like, this is crazy. Now, Adi Dawa's reputation, whatever he had, is gone down the toilet too, because he's now scumbag liar, right? What's that expression? Crackhead
from Thaddeus?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't remember, but it was so funny. These crackhead something.
Crackhead clown. Right?
Yeah. You know what? This whole time though, it shows in all of their videos, they're so worried about talking about everybody else but Muhammad Hijab and the fact that he didn't do this. They want to like bring down Salman, bring in Dunya. You know, bring in Sister Aisha's like state of mind, right? She's crazy, yeah. This and that. Faking AIs, faking texts, you know, crappy, you know, Photoshop screenshots. It's like everything else has been the focus, but proving Muhammad Hijab is innocent. It's just trying to bring down everyone else.
Yeah. I don't know what's, we have to wait and see now. If these people are going to be canceled by the Muslim community, or they're going to keep supporting these liars, these people that literally lied, knowingly lied, and threw people down the toilet and down the gutter to the gutter, knowing what actually happened, right? And it is quite possible that he got some money. Who knows, right? Maybe he got some hush money. Maybe he didn't, but like, definitely there's loyalty there, right? There's a loyalty to his friends, to protect his friends. So this is what he's doing.
You know what? I think from observing, the only other big scandal, like I remember, was the Noman Ali Khan one. He didn't get completely canceled. Like, I mean, my observations are that he still does his thing, you know, but he's not the giant he once was. So they might be able to, I don't know, be accepted. Like the people who like Noman Ali Khan will like him. But I don't think his popularity is going to grow. And same thing with these guys, right? Whoever likes them, they're diehards, they're going to stick by them. But I think after this, it's going to be much less than what it was before.
I know, and he has that kind of, that's why I kind of abstain from being around him.
Subhanallah. Sheikh Torana states that he has knowledge of Muhammad Hijab blackmailing others. This is not a one-time occurrence. I had informed Sheikh Torana about the oath that Muhammad Hijab took in our conversation, where he swore by Allah, denying it all. Upon being in shock, he approached Hijab regarding this false oath.
And I said, I'm not making an oath. But Allah, this is a big thing. It's a massive thing. I mean, I don't know how you can justify to say to make an oath by Allah. So he deleted the messages quickly. He admitted that he made an oath, and after that, he deleted the messages. And then after that, wanted to put the whole day on you, because that's how it is. He wanted to do it. Let's say that kept going or something like that. Allah, that's what he's planning. And and later on, he started, you know, saying things to the brothers. You know, so that brother Ali Dawa, and he's going to expose things about me.
I want you to pause for a moment. This is a conversation with Sheikh Torana back in February. He clearly states that Adi Dawa was told by Muhammad Hijab that he was going to expose things about the Sheikh. After you're done watching this video, I want you to go back and watch Adi Dawa's response videos. I want you to pay close attention to his performative sincerity while he pretends that both him and Sheikh Torana were duped by Sister Aisha.
Yeah, this is again more lies. Mina says, I hope women wake up, seriously, this religion does nothing but abuse them. This is so true. And Cali says, too many teen guys follow these clowns. Yeah, they have a lot of young followers. Unfortunately, all of this was enabled by the religion. Now, we see a good Muslim and we see a bad Muslim here. We see Shaitrana was trying his best to help her, but obviously he's going to struggle because, you know, the tide is against him, unfortunately.
What a wicked man. Adi didn't just know about it. Adi knowingly deceived the world. He parroted Hijab's lies. He tried to cover for his partner in crime. He helped Hijab build the illusion that Sheikh Torana was retracting his support of Sister Aisha, while knowing full well it was a result of pressure, threats, and blackmail. Shame on you, Adi Dawa. May you always be known as a master of deception and a wicked liar.
But him to use these things to blackmail me, the worst thing any someone could do to someone who had told him in the past. Someone helped him, genuinely helped him, even throughout his marriage, even his second marriage. And then he was giving, he said, my deadline by tonight, I have to send a voice apologies or something like that, that I misrepresented him or something. Because he wanted to use this to say, okay, he is the one who's wronging me, it's not someone else. So that's how it is.
Subhanallah. So he wants to use this as proof, essentially, that, ya Allah,
the whole thing is a lie. At the end of the day, I rely on Allah to make him dua against him at the end of the day because he found that he oppressed me. So now, what he is done after all of this, what he is now is a blackmailing me. And I didn't respond to him at all. And I leave this matter to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You are in a problem. You have done mischief on earth. You have done all these wrong things. You have done, you know, you made an oath by Allah Azza wa Jalla and in the wrong way, a testimony against the truth. And yet, you expect the other people to do that the same. If I showed you that the message is so disgusting. For example, he sent me earlier messages and he was saying, oh, I know things about you. He means he's blackmailing me. Even the message I sent him to telling him, Akhi, fear Allah, repent to Allah, this thing.
This wasn't me.
Go ahead.
That's how they operate. I know things about you. I'm going to expose you. And it's all of this just to avoid saying sorry, avoid accountability.
Yeah, yeah. Avoid admitting that you did wrong. And we're going to find out it gets even worse for Hijab. His first wife is, he's in trouble with his wife, right? So
yeah,
we'll talk about that next.
You know, it's pathetic too, because again, this Sheikh Torana, he's like an older man, you know, and it's like Muhammad Hijab is like, I have stuff on you. It's like, you know what? It's like, can you just like ever just, you know, talk to people normally instead of having to like, quote unquote, expose stuff. I mean, and honestly, like what the heck could you possibly have on this guy? You were his student. Like, it's just so shameful.
Yeah, exactly. So a couple of comments. Christine Reed says, this is the guy that did the marriage. No, this is not the guy that did the marriage, but he was involved he was requested to, like, she reached out to him for help. So she reached out to over 100 imams, she said, something like that. And I guess out of the 100, there's two people that supported her. That one is this Sheikh Trane, and the other one is this guy, Salman and Abu Aya, right? That these are the only people that really stuck up for her. And in this case, Mina said, I'm glad I left Islam and the Muslim community absolutely destroyed my mental health. I hope more women leave in the future and free themselves from the abuse of Islam. Indeed, I agree. This system is no good for Islam. No good for women, no good for Islam.
You know, that's exactly how I felt as well, Mina. And I left the community and I never looked back. And when I see stories like this come out, it makes me even more glad that I left. It's just, it's so, like David Wood says, it's so dysfunctional. That's that's a great way to put it. It's a dysfunctional community. I mean, look at this with the threats. I'm going to expose you, you know, do this by midnight. It's like, this is just horrifying.
Yeah. So Maz, the unicorn, says, I don't think blackmail is a part of Islam, at least to my knowledge. No, that part is a personality thing of Muhammad Hijab that's doing this. But what we are seeing is representatives of Islam, very public, very public representatives of Islam, behaving in a way that's completely immoral, unethical, slimy, and not just that, but they're being defended by other public apologists or dawah guys. So if you are going to be a representative of Islam, Muhammad Hijab, Ali Dawah, and you guys are saying that I'm calling you to the truth, I'm calling you to goodness, they want people to come to Islam, yet they're behaving in this way, we have to call them out we have to call this out. It's not just about whether, and in this particular case, there's a lesson here for women, Muslim women and non-Muslim women, I guess, which is that misyar marriage is a legit thing in Sunni Islam, right? It's not a temporary marriage. You don't have to have an expiry date on a marriage, but it is a bad thing that's allowed in Islam, right? And basically the same thing Mina is saying here, that, you know, hijabi secret marriage was halal. So Islam is a problem. Not the blackmailing, obviously, is not part of Islam per se, but the fact that you have nobody really willing to, like, we talked about this on I think it was on Thaddeus's stream, that, you know, with, you mentioned about what's his name, Ravi.
Ravi Zacharias. Yeah, the whole scandal with him, and there was a scandal, like, you know, similar in nature, right? Same theme, abusing women and stuff. And what were you referring to exactly?
Like when David Wood condemned him.
David Wood called it out. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was still Muslim back then, but I remember David uploading a video, and, you know, he's got his take, his nuanced David Wood take to it. But I had so much respect for him because he's a Christian in the Christian community, and Ravi had connection to Nabil. And, you know, David was like, you know, basically this is a scummy thing, right? You know, he didn't try to cover it up or defend him in any way, but, you know, the Muslims, everybody but Salman is defending him. Everybody but Salman is like standing against the whole dawah world that are, you know, they're talking about this in defense of Muhammad Hijab. And it's like, you know, I have a lot of respect for Salman, because they all just want to, you know, be quiet or defend. And they know that this is, that there is, you know, there's lies here from their camp, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And what we're seeing is, this is not the first time this happened. The secret marriage, the blackmail, he admitted there's much more going on, right?
Yeah.
Mina says, I can't even imagine the amount of women that were victims, but silenced. That's true. There's other secret marriages Muhammad Hijab had as well, right?
Yeah. This isn't his first rodeo with Miss Yar.
So Gessie says, as far as I can tell, you have dodgy people from all religions who interpret things to suit themselves. So do some Muslims. If that is the case here, then we should call it out, but that's not the case. The misyar marriage, which is an unfair, one-sided polygamous marriage, is allowed in Sunni Islam. It's not recommended. No scholar says it's recommended, as far as I know, in most cases. But it's allowed, it's halal. So it's not just, these are not obscure, like, weird takes. These are rulings that, like, Yasir Qadhi, I mean, obviously Muhammad Hijab and others have all said is halal. You shouldn't do it. They're like, you know, if you're my daughter, I wouldn't allow it, or I wouldn't want you to do that. But, you know, for someone else, you know, if they want to do it, that's what they say. Like, I don't recommend it. It's going to cause you lots of stuff. And we have a video on misyar marriage as well. Right.
This is a large, too, this is a large, like, unsolvable problem in Islam. What in the world are they going to come out and say? Like, eventually this has to be talked about. This is a slimy, like, hookup thing that's basically happening, and it's halal. Like, how do you explain away that one? They're going to have trouble with that, because it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Technically speaking, you can't change it. You can't change Islam. This is what it is.
Yeah, and even like a hookup is completely, when you have a hookup and it's consensual, that's one thing. When you have someone that's pretending to be a lion of dawah and then doing like hookup marriages,
right?
That's completely like against their own value system, that they're saying Islam is pro-family, pro-marriage, pro, you know, values, that it's the one that's keeping the civilization alive and all of these kufars are all like, you know, immoral, and they're all like, you know, fahisha and zina and all these things, but like they're doing the same things, right? And as Stefan is saying, that for sure feel justified by the legalistic, formalistic religion. Well said, right?
Yeah.
And this is another thing that's no longer an issue, but it's, I mean, I shouldn't say no longer an issue. It is an issue with the Yazidi women and with ISIS, but this was an issue for Muslim women for the last 1400 years as well. Even they didn't have misya marriage. They had this problem, whereas like nothing can stop a man from going and getting a, like a sex slave, basically, right? One his right hand possesses. That's another problem, right?
Yeah. This okay. this is the new 21st century Islamic problem, misyar.
Yeah, exactly. And Reason Answers, we're going to have him on the stream in a little bit. We're going to have another stream that we're talking about a different video right after this, which we planned out a few days ago. And yeah, we're going to be talking to you soon. Excited to do that.
Hi, okay. Thaddeus.
Yeah, hey. We're going to continue and get to a few more minutes. Just going to look at a couple more chat messages. Every sin a Muslim wants to commit has loopholes to allow it within Islam. That's an interesting take. Yeah, there's a lot of loopholes in Islam. And sometimes the loopholes are part of Islam itself. Like, for example, misya marriage is a loophole that goes against what the Quran itself says, which is treat your wives fairly. But apparently Muhammad didn't. So therefore, why would anyone else have to do it, right?
This is just a workaround to just to deceive women like Aisha and, you know, get what you want out of them and then toss them away, you know, have a nikah, make it look like a marriage, and then, you know, oh yeah, bait and switch. This was a misyar marriage.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And a couple more interesting comments. Guys, it's haram to learn to have healthy relationships, but you can have halal hookup marriages. It's the whole legalistic thing again, right? Okay. And okay, let's continue the video then.
Merely a threat. This was a spiritual mafia boss threatening his elder, his former teacher. This is where the mask begins to fall. Instead of repentance, Muhammad Hijab launched a campaign of threats, giving false religious oaths, deleting evidence, and preparing a narrative to scapegoat the very man who once taught him.
Like, the situation is worse than worse. It's escalating, as you know, Muhammad. It's you know, basically now, Wallahi, things escalated. You know, basically, he's using me as a scapegoat for the whole thing. Basically, that's the whole thing. He's now on my case, you could say. And he went to the brothers from my era. You know, he's now tarnishing my name, you know, putting things, you know, I don't understand now. It's basically, you know, I'm going through a difficult time. And today, Wallahi, because of the stress, subhanAllah, I don't want to get into these things. I was so stressed to the extent, you know, I was vomiting all day, Wallahi, khifullah. He's now tarnishing my name, he's now bringing things, and, you know, I understand. And now, Wallahi, I don't know if I'm capable to take this matter anymore, Wallahi, to that extent. And he, as I mentioned to you, in his way in dealing with things that he has against anyone that he deals with, he has, you know, evidences and things like that against everyone. He has already done that. He has already attacked me. He has already started, as you know.
So this is what Hijab was promising. He said, if you don't comply by midnight, I'm going to go and do something.
Can you imagine, I'm listening to him and I'm seeing another similarity here between him and Sister Aisha. What did Sister Aisha say? She felt physically sick. He's made her physically sick. This guy's physically sick. Can you imagine dealing with Muhammad Hijab and he stresses you out to the point where you're vomiting? You don't even want to eat for days. That's how stressful it is to have a guy like this breathing down your back.
Today to support the head of Aira, and because we were together, today in the morning I went to the hospital.
He went to Subur. I hope Subur is going to make a comment about this. Subur, if you're watching, we're watching you. You have a right. You have every duty on you to come out publicly and explain why Hijab is coming to you and bad-mouthing Sheikh Trane simply because he helped an innocent woman who got trapped by hijab. You are now implicated in this too. You need to come out and condemn hijab, or at least explain what was the request that hijab made about this sheikh. Now, if you're in this community, you're in this Islamic community, you can be easily be canceled by hijab. This is a problem. Hijab has a lot of power in this community, right? He has every ability to basically get rid of people if he likes it. Like, none of us know who this guy is. We never heard of this guy. Hijab, we all know. What does that mean? Hijab is famous. Hijab can go to all of these people and say, listen, don't work with this guy. Don't give him a job. Don't allow him into your projects. You know, exclude him from things. Kick him out. This is now his sustenance, his livelihood. And it's not like, you know, one of us that we lose a job and get another job. He's limited to this. This is his stream of income. Like remember with Imam Nick, he got booted yeah. out, and that was it.
Yeah. And you know what? This should be a message to any woman out there. I mean, they're out there, I'm sure, these women who still will fawn over him and whatever. If you get involved with this guy and it's going to inevitably end, just know he's going to try to ruin your life. He'll ruin Sister Aisha's life. You know, and this isn't the first time he's done the Miss Yar thing, you know, or not Miss Yar, second marriage, whatever that was. You know, this isn't his first rodeo with that. We've heard about somebody else. Like, where is that girl? What happened to her? You know, it's just anybody who, it's like a tornado. It's like anybody who's in his path, he'll just destroy you.
Yeah, exactly.
I was discharged in the afternoon. I was, my health was going down. Things were in a bad way. Until now, I didn't eat for the last 3 days, actually. The last 2 days, no food, and, you know, my health declined. I understand. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, Allah is excusing you from the Ahlul Rijal, from the pot of the men. SubhanAllah, he kind of went around and finished my name, and people came to me, you know. So, and he was planning to actually to escalate things to all the centers, all the people that I'm working with. Well, I'm tired, I can't take it anymore. Allah, I went to the hospital today, my uncle couldn't drive, my wife took me to the hospital. And I was sick, and all night I was in television, and I'm vomiting, and there's nothing. Allah, nothing, I couldn't. Something happens because of the, you know, when you're overstressed, you know, sometimes, alhamdulillah, I mean, I was doing my car, my Quran, but things is too much even to think. Can you imagine, Allah, it's
someone's asking what's happening. So what's going on is this sheikh has been character assassinated by hijab. Hijab went to all of the different, he was planning to go place by place, center by center, and get him canceled. He's trying to cancel him.
Can you imagine too? This is what he said. He's not just vomiting. He got so sick, he felt like he had to go to the hospital. So his wife drove him to the hospital. Can you imagine that whole process? So physically sick. He's saying to his wife, I need to go to the hospital. She takes him to the hospital. They're in the ER waiting to see a doctor. This whole situation has completely destroyed his health.
Yeah. Yeah, so what's happening here is this is what happens when you come against hijab and you're a Muslim scholar or whatever, imam, you can be canceled, right? And this is what happens when you try to stand up for women's rights, basically, right? And he got to the point where he's vomiting, he's sick, he had to go to the hospital. And as Mina said, if he feels like this, if he feels like this, I can't imagine how Sister Aisha feels. This has been one of the toughest things for her. It's been like very, very, very difficult, right? And it's awful.
Women's, have really more emotionally attached. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, I couldn't, to that extent, I read you the message that they sent me. I'm saying, you know, he's like damaging, he was preparing stages of damaging to the end.
So he wasn't only planning to go to Aida and Subur, and he was going to all the different communities. By the way, my wife had to just leave for a couple of minutes to get the kids. But yeah, she'll be back in a few minutes. This has been basically the end of it. This is going to be the end of his career if someone doesn't stand up for him. If someone doesn't speak up on behalf of this imam from the Muslim community, if someone doesn't say that you have no right to cancel this guy, you have no right to kick him out of the community, he's a good man, he's doing, like, for no fault of his own, he was dragged into this, and now you're going to destroy his life. I mean, God knows what he's depending on for sustenance. Maybe this is the only way he can live, right? This is his only way to provide for his family. And this is the problem, of course, with becoming a scholar and, you know, Islamic scholar. It's like you're dependent on this, and now you're dependent on the community in some way, right? Thanks for the super chat, G-Block, Mr. and Mrs. Abdullah and Mrs. X-Muslim. Thank you so much for that. I'm just going to read a couple of chats here. I don't know if you guys remember, but Hijab is on record saying this, Nico, you can do whatever you want in Islam. He thinks as long as he doesn't do shirk, he can treat people any way he pleases, right? And yeah, Beatrice says, my sincere condolences to Mrs. Hijaba. Number one, she married a womanizer and a criminal. It's going to get worse. We're going to talk about what happened with his first wife. Salman mentions this. There's some consequences to hijab when he did this the first time, and now he's doing it a second time. So from the first time he did this to the second time, clearly he hasn't stopped, right? And as Mina is saying, they destroyed Imam Nick's life for exposing child, you know, basically sexual abuse. I wouldn't be surprised if they do the same to the Sheikh. Yeah, this hopefully is not what's going to happen to him, because he came out publicly about it. There's a lot of heat on hijab for this whole situation, and which is why he's getting more and more desperate, right? So let's see what happens. Let's see what happens next.
Was preparing to go to the centers, to go to the places I'm teaching, punching, planning, totals.
This wasn't just a series of threats. It became a physical, spiritual, and psychological assault. A respected scholar vomiting from stress, hospitalized, unable to eat for doing the right thing. A man who has given his life to Dawah, now suffering breakdowns, health collapse, and public slander. This is the cost of crossing a powerful man who refuses accountability.
Wallahi, I want to do something, yeah?
No.
Maybe I know the brother for years, yeah? And I said, I know him for years, and he was my student at some point, etc.
Mm.
And I admit you, I know you for only the last maybe couple of weeks, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I have a lot of respect to you compared to him. I honor you, my brother, and I believe you are sincere.
As I said, Shay, I don't want you to get involved. You know, subhanAllah, I just pray that, like you mentioned before, if this does go to a Sharia council and they ask for you, inshallah, I hope you can just cooperate with them and just stay out of it, right? Like, you're doing your job in the sight of Allah, and that's it.
And even the Sharia council, he might use this one to discredit my testimony basically.
Muhammad Hijab. Oh, by the way, please like, subscribe, and comment on the stream. And also, if you like the channel and you'd like to support it, please consider joining YouTube membership or on Patreon. And it is all appreciated. Thank you so much. Okay, going back to what's happening here. Muhammad Hijab is threatening this guy. He's basically telling him, not only threatening him, but he sent that fake AI voice note of Sister Aisha saying, I didn't marry him, like, which was fake. Right, he sent that little clip, which, you know, it's not long enough to really verify the context, even if it was her, but we know it's not her because she swore it wasn't her. And again, it makes no sense. Now we have even more evidence that this is a real situation. We all, on top of all of the evidence that we have that this is a real, true situation that happened, Muhammad Hijab is sending fake evidence to this Islamic Council, to the Islamic Sharia Council of Europe. We did a video on the Islamic Council, and it's honestly, it's a joke. And it's not, they don't help women. They have these men basically that talk down to women, interrupt them, don't listen to them, take the man's side, not provide them the divorce, make the situation worse for them. This is what some of the women said in the reviews. So this is the Islamic Council that Sister Aisha is going to, and that this guy, it might be called to, but he's saying they're going to use that against him as well. He's already sent fake evidence to the council, right? This guy knows everybody in Dawah. I really hope that the publicity that we're creating, the fact that we're trying to, you know, multiply and make this more visible than it already is, because Salman has a small channel, 5K. This channel has 100,000 subscribers. So we're hoping we can get the word out. We can show people this is what hijab is doing. And hopefully he'll never get the chance to speak on behalf of Muslims ever again. Maybe that's asking for too much. Maybe that's never going to happen. But if that's what we can hope for, then let's hope for that. And let's continue to advocate on behalf of these people that have been wronged by hijab. Muslim, you know, I'm not Muslim. I don't care for Islam. I don't believe in Islam. But I'm doing this on behalf of these Muslims. Why? Is it because I hate hijab? No, it's not because I hate hijab. It's because hijab is, one, he's showing us that Islam is awful, and this is a good way for us to show that. Two, we care about these people and we want to help them because they've been wronged. And I myself could have been in that situation. You know, a woman that I knew or cared about could have been in this situation. And so why shouldn't we help them, right? We should. No one else is going to help them. She went to all these Muslims, and out of 100 people, who did she find? A couple of people. So this is why she reached out to myself and David Wood. And, you know, I didn't even notice she reached out to me on Twitter. I was like, I didn't even notice those tweets, because it disappeared in all the noise of all the other tweets. But like, what would make a woman want to do that with someone that is not even a believer in her own faith? Well, it's because we can increase the volume on these issues, and we can show these issues for what they are, right? But yeah, they also said this is a Zionist lie. They also implied that this was Elon Musk or something, nonsense like that. this is not something new with hijab. He's been behaving this way since the very beginning, and it's just awful, right? And, you know, this is not, and also this is not the first secret marriage. So women need to know these things, right? As non-Muslims that don't believe in Islam, one, we're happy to help Muslims, but at the same time, we're also going to say what we believe, which is that Islam is bad for women. We're going to say that loudly and clearly. And we're not ashamed to say that. We're not scared of hijab. We're going to stick our necks out. And we're going to do this, and they can't touch us, right? Like, what's he going to do? What's hijab going to do, right? Threaten me? He's already done that. He's already, like, come out and slandered me and my wife, my ex-wife. He's done these things. He went after AP and his wife. He went after Gondal and his wife. This is nothing new here. Like, you know what I mean? This is, you know, we need to help these people wherever we can. And, you know, maybe they'll leave Islam. Maybe they won't. Maybe they won't, but that's okay. Right? This is worth talking about. This is what we do this is what I do as a YouTuber. I talk about these things, you know?
As well, that's how it is. I know that, that's part of it.
So why would someone, a public figure who has influence over millions of people, why would he succumb to such malicious and criminal behavior? Well, this wasn't his first secret marriage. This was, at the very least, his second.
He had a mental breakdown when his wife in the hospital, she discovered him being married again. She took the kids away from him. That's for nearly a year.
When his wife found out from the previous secret second wife, she left him for nearly a year. You would think he didn't learn his lesson, but in fact, he learned a very tactful one. To ensure that he would do everything in his ability to cover all his tracks, to use a burner phone to conduct the nikah without names or faces, to ensure there was no physical contract, and to ensure he had full control over all those that did remotely witness it.
Did you hear that? Hijab got in trouble with his wife before for doing this. And instead of basically stopping doing it. He's on YouTube on Ali Dawah's show bragging about this, saying, I don't need to compromise. And if a woman doesn't agree with me, oh, what happened to my camera? That was weird. My camera just died. That was weird. 1 second. I don't know what happened. Just give me a second to what the hell happened to my camera? Okay, that's fine. We don't need camera. Give me a second. This is weird. Okay, that was strange. I don't know why that happened. That was okay. That was weird. That was a sign from Allah that Shaitan is in the. I don't know what happened there. It's the jinn. Anyways, that was distracting. Okay, yeah, this is unfortunately way too much of a serious topic, and it's hard to make jokes when we're talking about people's lives being ruined, people being thrown under the bus, you know, secret wives. And yeah, this we'll try to do some lighter topics as well in the future. This particular one is you see, the Zionists give you a faulty camera. This is a proof. Yeah, that's like Allah's canceling me at the same time that I'm streaming so that I get confused and lost. Yeah, this is bizarre. But anyways, let's go to a couple of comments. Sorry for the woman. And Lisa Nancy said, Mrs. Hijab is gone for good, I think. Well, we'll see if she's, I don't know if she has a lot of options either. I don't even know who she is. But this is terrible for her. She's another victim of the whole situation. Mrs. Hijab is basically having to deal with all this embarrassment and shame and backlash, and it's just awful, right? It's just awful. I do hope that it whatever is the best thing for the family is what happens, because people like this never change. People like this don't ever become better. They don't start suddenly not cheating, and I mean that's what it is. This is halal cheating, right? This is indeed like completely halal cheating, which is what happened. So I hope that, you know, she gets, I don't know if this is what she wants, then I hope she's able to get out of the situation, because I don't know if he'll ever change. I just somehow really doubt it, right? Just to go to a couple more super chats. Nakun Se Katna said, you know, yes, the hadith says that women have deficient in wisdom, the half the testimony of a man according to the Quran, half the share of a man in property. And of course, there's so many things that, you know, we can talk about. Women defending Islam is like a chicken defending KFC. Yeah, that's one way to put it for sure. And Ultra said, Dawah is a disgrace. Hope you're happy, Mojab. Alrighty, let me see if there's any more interesting comments. Yeah, I highly doubt that the Sheikh has anything to hide. I mean, this is kind of like, sorry, 1 second. Okay, I really hope that, I mean, I really don't think there's anything to hide, but like, this is the threats, right? These are like the vague threats that you get from people that want to like shut you down. I know what you're hiding. Like, it's like a scary thing to say, right? So who knows what was there, but yeah, this may be the end of hijab. We hope it is. We hope this is the end of his public career. And if not, then, you know, what a shame. What a shame from the community, right? What a shame from the community if this is not the end for him.
All while spending years collecting compromising data that he could later use against his next victim, in the case she ever decided to speak up.
And actually, it was my mistake when I sent him a voice note of advice, advising him to say, you know, you can't make an oath with Allah Azza wa Jal, and you make an oath with Allah with these things. For, you know, that's the advice. And then he raised the war against me just after I said to him, ittaqillah. As Allah said, ittaqillah, khadat al-izzat al-imudithin. He was called to have taqwa on Allah for Allah. And then, you know, his pride and arrogance to transgress and to do sins.
In the end, Sheikh Torana's only mistake, in his words, was advising hijab to fear Allah. For that, he was blackmailed, slandered, and betrayed by someone he once called his student. But the truth remains, He fought and struggled to maintain integrity over protection until he began to collapse and feared for his health and his livelihood. For years, we've heard of the term Dawa Mafia. Today, we witnessed it in action. Muhammad Torana has been a respected sheikh, dedicating his life to giving dawah and helping people grow in their faith. Yet when Muhammad Hijab realized he was a liability due to him being a man of truth, Hijab blackmailed him, giving him until midnight to send a message and voice note that could be twisted to make Sister Aisha look like a liar. And when the midnight deadline passed, he began tarnishing the sheikh's name, reaching out to Aira and different organizations, poisoning Torana's reputation, and ultimately triggering his spiritual, emotional, and physical collapse. Sheikh Torana recounts vomiting from stress, being hospitalized, and not eating for 3 days.
Someone's saying that he has something to hide. Was one of the comments saying, well, if he had nothing to hide, he wouldn't be vomiting. He has everything to lose, his livelihood. He doesn't need to be hiding anything. He's going against Muhammad Hijab, who was going individual by individual and getting him blacklisted. You know this sheikh, don't work with him. Subur, you're in charge of Aida. You have this budget of whatever, $1 million. I know you were planning to do a project with him. Cut him off. Next Islamic Center, you guys work with him. I'm Muhammad Hijab. You guys know who I am. Don't work with this guy. This guy tried to ruin my life. This guy tried to lie about me and say I was in a secret marriage. There doesn't need to be actually anything that he's hiding for him to be scared of Hijab. Hijab is holding, is dangling his livelihood in front of his face and saying, I'm going to take it away from you. There doesn't need to be actually anything there that is hidden per se, right? So let's just, you know, just want to make that clear. And Montana says Hijab's clear got checked into a hotel and got blackmailed into the time and dude is done. I sincerely hope this is the end of Hijab. This vile behavior is going to ruin his reputation to the point where no one wants to be associated with him anymore. I mean, the things he's done so far, it seems like he's untouchable. And that's what he thinks too. He thinks he's untouchable and he thinks that he can get away with this. Thank you for the super chat, by the way.
This man dedicated his life to dawah and Hijab treated him like collateral damage. This isn't just moral failure. This is criminal. This is spiritual abuse. This is the dark side of the dawah mafia. And now, collectively, we must call for accountability. Do not let this case become another chapter in the long history of religious cover-ups like those in the Catholic Church. To the community in London, file criminal charges against Muhammad Nabil Hijab. This is blackmail and must render legal consequences. To the Islamic Council of Europe, issue a public condemnation. Launch a full investigation. Let your silence not be your complicity. To the Muslim Ummah, protect Sheikh Muhammad Torana by all means necessary. He tried his best to stand for the truth and ended up paying the price. He was coerced. He was blackmailed. He was harmed. His words were used to justify what they deemed as a masterful cover-up. The veil has been lifted. The lies have unraveled. And the truth, it has pierced through the silence.
How long have I been talking with my... Oh no, I was muted. I didn't even realize. That's crazy. I don't know how long I was doing that. Man, the jinns are just today all over the place. The jinns are all over the place. Okay, now that I'm back, what was he blackmailing the sheikh over? That's what the question was. He was blackmailing the sheikh by saying, if you don't condemn everything that Aisha said, and basically Sister Aisha, and say that she's a liar, or that this is fake, or that you have no evidence of the marriage, there's no marriage, she's a crazy woman. If you don't basically throw her under the bus, I will take care of you. I will teach you a lesson. And it's going to happen. It's going to be within the law, but I'm going to deal with you. You have till midnight. So this is what the blackmailing, that's what the blackmailing was. And this is unfortunately a very scary situation to be in, right? To be in a situation where you are being blackmailed by one of the most biggest dawah guys that's you know, well known by everyone. And yeah. Okay, so let's go through some of the comments. And I muted myself so I wouldn't hear echo on the thing. I apologize for that. Subur is a coward. He'll cave to hijab. Probably. Trane sounds like a Jordanian family name. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Okay, so I wanted to go over this comment, and I was leading it muted. I've been in extreme trauma for some time. I'm confused about what is the truth. I've been lured into Islam by my friends. Are there any concrete way we can prove that Islam isn't the truth? Curious. I mean, I would say watch my channel and look into reading some books, study and read more, and you'll get to it. My blog is a good reference as well. I have all of my doubts, all which were initially doubts, but now like massive holes in Islam, all documented over there. So please do read into that. Okay, next comment, regular comment. Let's be honest. Out of all the world's religions, Islam makes the most sense. But these dawah guy, money guys ruin it. We need to go back to the days of no dawah and let people convert if they want. Yeah, people should convert if they want to and not if they don't want to. But Islam does not make sense. Islam makes no sense whatsoever. The Quran has massive scientific blunders. Islam has no fair rights for women, right? The Quran has historical mistakes in it. For example, mentioning Alexander the Great was a Muslim, which is Dhulqarnain. There is so many awful things in Islam that, not just awful, like the treatment of women, treatment of apostates, the treatment of minorities like LGBT. None of these things make sense in Islam. Islam has all sorts of mistakes in it. Semen comes from between the backbone and the ribs. It's just ridiculous. But I guess if you want to compare to other religions, I mean, I don't think that that's even a valid thing to do, because like you should consider each religion on its own merits. And Islam in this particular case doesn't have very good reasons for it. Even if you just think about the fact that, you know, the existence of hell, does it make sense that like only one religion out of all the religions in the world, only one religion is true, and it came from a man who spoke to someone in a cave that no one can see, no one can confirm. And this one man, you have to believe him, you have to follow him, you have to love him more than your own self. This is what Islam is, and this doesn't make sense, right? Like, it's the in the all through the hadith and all through the Quran too, there's problems with Islam, right? Any high control cult that leaves room for abuse cannot be the truth. Exactly, right? Like what exactly is the evidence for Islam? It's all shallow, superficial things, right? These are the things that people would consider. If you consider this proof, I'd say look into it. Each and every one of these things are false. The more you study Islam, the more you see that they don't hold up to scrutiny. These things don't hold up to scrutiny, right? And people are starting to find out that Islam is false, and they're starting to apostatize en masse. We are seeing large numbers of people privately and publicly leaving Islam. Mina says, the scientific inaccuracies did it for me. That was the beginning for me as well, right? splitting the moon, no one saw the splitting of the moon, which is so bizarre, right? These are not good reasons to believe. And someone was asking, if I can just find it, one second, about, yeah, can I talk about the Al-Zut video from Raymond Ibrahim? What do I think of it? I watched the video. This is like a crazy story. I think I remember reading a hadith like this when I was reading about the story of Muhammad meeting the jinns, and he went in the middle of the night and he saw a camp of the jinns. I don't know if this is the same similar story or if this is a totally different him going into the middle of the night. And I remember in the story of the jinns, he went out in the middle of the night and companions couldn't find him, and they got worried. They started looking for him, and he was out in the desert. It's such a bizarre story that he was, I mean, this one is claiming he was having sex with some men in the desert. I really don't know. I don't tend to talk about these things because I don't find that these actually like help my case. There's much stronger things that I can use to talk about why I don't believe in Islam rather than, you know, these like, I think that there's definitely benefit. There's sure, if you want to talk about it, but that's not like my cup of tea, basically. And so I don't usually talk about it. Yeah. I mean, the hadith science itself is problematic. Hadith are really a string of people saying that I heard from this person, that this person said something, that this person said something, that this person said something. It's like a chain of, you know, and then what do you do? How do you know that this actually happened? Well, this person's trustworthy. So you're depending on people's trustworthiness. That's not what you would call a science, right? That's not a science. So if this is what people, if this is all that's needed is someone saying that like this reliable person said something and this basically can be traced back to Muhammad, well, I'm sorry, I don't know who sold you that bunch of crock, but there's no, that's not compelling in any way. That's not convincing. So I would say don't fall for it, right? The actual content of the hadith itself is crazy. So just, you don't even need, even if it was authentic, even if it was truly, 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 like there was, if there was a solid, absolute, 100% way to know that Muhammad did say these things, does that make Islam true? Well, in fact, it would actually make the case worse for Islam, because the things that happen in the hadith are God awful. Like he, you know, some of the things I can't even say on YouTube without getting in trouble that he did, right? And Shias and Sunnis have different hadith they trust, both are sincere. The Shias believe that Abu Huraira and Bukhari, it's funny that they actually believe that, you know, the things that are said a conspiracy, like, you know, Shias believe there's a conspiracy against, you know, Ali and against Fatima. And they believe that Bukhari wrote the things in the Quran, wrote the things that he did, narrated the things that he said, because he wanted to raise the rank of Omar and Abu Bakr. Like, for example, we know the story of the hadith, the hijab. And, you know, it's a funny story that Omar said, I saw the wife of Muhammad going out to use the washroom, right, to answer the call of nature. And then what happened? I told Muhammad and the hijab verse was revealed. It clearly sounds like Muhammad made it up. Shias will say that's a lie. That's not what happened. He made that up in order to, you know, basically raise the status of these Sunni caliphs, right? The Shia caliphs are the ones that the Shia caliphs are the true, you know, ones we should follow. And of course, Shia Islam has its own problems as well. So we are going to have another live stream in just an hour. So I'm going to end it here. This was honestly a bombshell from Salman, and I hope he's safe. I hope that people start to realize that Sister Aisha was telling the truth. This whole situation was, you know, awful. And Sister Aisha, what she's going through, she deserves to be heard. Muhammad Hijab, at this point, has not just not apologized. He's blackmailed his actual teacher, his former sheikh, blackmailed him. Ali Dawah is involved as well and implicated by slandering Salman, slandering Aisha, knowing the truth that this actually happened, that she's not a crazy woman, that this was a real marriage. And we need to, you know, multiply and amplify what happened so more people know who hijab is, that he should not be represented, he should not be a representative of Islam. And if he is, well, I'm sorry, but what does that tell you about Islam? If all of you guys, including Subur, who hijab contacted as well, if you're going to defend hijab after this, what does that say about you? What does that say about your religion, right? And of course, not everyone likes hijab, right? There's a lot of Muslims that don't like him. They need to amplify Salman. Salman needs support, right? And we need to, I mean, of course, he doesn't want our support, which is the other irony of the whole situation. He doesn't want the support of me and of Christians and whatever other atheists and other ex-Muslims. But we will support him regardless. We will stand up and say that you did the right thing and that the Dawah gang, the Dawah mafia, they need to be, you need to end this mafia. You need to take away the power from hijab by not letting him be your spokesperson anymore. Right? This guy is vile. And you know what? He's going to be the downfall of Islam and the downfall of Muslims. So, you know, that's it. I'm going to end it there. Thanks for watching. Thanks for tuning in. And thank you to my wife as well for also joining the stream. And she had to go and pick up the kids. And we'll see you in an hour with Reason Answer, Thaddeus. And we're going to join back then. And we'll see you soon. Thanks for watching.